Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Maundy Thursday meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, and verse 34. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well,' for so I am. If I then, your teacher and Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So far, some text. In Christ Jesus, whose shed blood has washed us clean of all of our sins, dear fellow redeemed. You see an American flag, and you think of patriotism, or freedom. You see a Valentine heart, and you think of love. You see a trophy, and you think of victory, winning a contest. You see a dove, and you think of peace. All these objects or pictures teach us a lesson. In fact, sometimes objects and pictures teach a lesson better than even words do. What's the old saying? A picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, when you see the pierced hands of Jesus, as our bulletin this evening portrays, what comes to mind? It's crucifixion, right? When you see the pierced hands of Jesus, you think immediately of Jesus being nailed to the cross and his suffering for the sins of the whole world. Jesus' pierced hands are symbolical of Jesus' love for all of us lost sinners. This past Lenten season, we have been looking at the hands of Jesus, and as we looked at the hands of Jesus, we've seen his attributes, characteristics, and his actions. We've seen hands that invite, hands that heal, protect, provide, resurrect, and pray for us. And this evening we look at Jesus' hands and we see hands that wash. There are many truths that we could meditate on in this amazing text of all that happened on that Maundy Thursday so many years ago. Here is Jesus, burdened and weighed down, the knowledge that he soon would have to suffer and die. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew he'd be arrested, tried, beaten, whipped, convicted, crucified, and worst of all, forsaken by his Father, enduring the torments of hell for all of us. And yet he's not thinking about himself. We see no self-pity in our Savior. He directs his thoughts toward his disciples. He does something very amazing. He shows them a humble act that symbolizes what he soon will be doing in a few hours in a more greater way. He also does this as an object lesson for them to be able to do after he is gone. So this evening, my thought is washing. 3 points. The need for washing. 2, the way we are washed. And 3, the response to our washing. You can't imagine a more shocking event taking place on that Maundy Thursday, except there were more later on. Jesus suddenly gets up, takes off his outer garment, goes over and gets a towel, wraps it around his waist, fills a bowl of water, then walks around the room and begins to wash each of his disciples' feet and dries it with a towel. What's he doing? Now, we think of washing our feet only at night or in the morning when we take a shower. Most of us don't wash our feet before we eat supper. Remember, back in Jesus' day, they walked with sandals, and all the roads were dirt, and so their feet were dirtier than ours. In most every house you would go into, at the entryway, there would be some pitchers of water that you'd be able to wash your feet before you went into the home. If you were very rich, you'd have servants staying at the door that would wash the visitors' feet as they came in. So here's Jesus taking the form, the action of a slave, a servant, to his disciples. But what else is new? That's what Jesus said he was. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This was the servant of the Lord, the chosen one at work. This was the Son of God taking upon himself the form of a servant, and as we heard Sunday in Palm Sunday service, even to the point of the death on the cross, where Paul wrote, "Have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Although he was God, he did not consider himself being equal with God as a prize to be displayed. But he emptied himself, made himself a slave, became like other men, human beings. And when he appeared in the form of a man, he became obedient and humbled himself even to the point of death, yes, death on a cross." When the Son of God does the work of a slave for man, that's amazing love. But not everybody understands that. And not even did all of his disciples. So as Jesus was making his way around to the disciples, he came to Peter. And Peter saw him and asked, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Peter couldn't just sit there and wash. He just humiliated himself in this way. And Jesus understood that Peter and most of the disciples didn't know what Jesus was doing, didn't know why he was doing that. And so he said to them, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you know you will know after this." In other words, trust me, Peter. Soon you'll understand why I'm doing this. But you know, Peter, he was too upset to listen to what Jesus was saying. And he said, "You will never wash my feet." Peter didn't realize what he was saying. Jesus patiently responds, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Jesus answered a spiritual meaning. He wasn't there to wash his feet. He's there to wash his soul. It's a symbolic act. It's the sin-sick soul that needs to be washed. And when Jesus washes the soul of the individual, there is a fellowship, a communion between them. Without that washing of the way of sins, then there's no fellowship with Jesus or with his Father. Well, now Peter's really enthused. But again, he doesn't know what he's saying. He says, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If I am fellowshipping with you, then don't just wash my feet, wash all of me." Again, Jesus points him to the spiritual meaning, and he says, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. You are not all clean." Jesus, again, is speaking not of feet washing. He's talking about being washed of their sins. And they believe that. They believe that Jesus would wash them of their sins, but not all of them. As you know, Judas did not trust his Lord and Savior. He was already at that time planning to carry out his handing him over to his enemies. We all need to be cleansed. We all need to be washed. And that's the first point in our text this evening. We can't downplay our sins by saying, "Well, at least they're not as bad as so-and-so. Well, I'm just human. No one's perfect. I try my best." You know, the other countless millions of excuses that our sinful flesh tries to bring up. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit through the law to acknowledge that we don't just have, you know, spots, stains here and there. We're filthy with sin. In fact, we are covered with the muck and the mud of sinful thoughts and words and actions. And that sin doesn't come from the outside. It comes from inside of us, inside of our sinful, sinful heart. And then when we've acknowledged our own sins, then we need to realize that there's no way that we can put those sins away by ourselves. What did Pilate accomplish when he washed his hands and said, "I'm innocent of this man's blood"? Absolutely nothing. He still was guilty of condemning an innocent man. And yet right there next to him, the one he was condemning was the one who was there to wash away all of his sins. And that's why in a few moments we'll be bringing ourselves before the Lord, examining our hearts and our lives. And when we read the Ten Commandments and apply them to ourselves, who of us can walk away and say, "I don't need any washing"? John says to us, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." We need to be condemned because of our sins. We need to acknowledge our sinfulness. Thankfully, John also writes then, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And again, John wrote, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Jesus then sat down, and then he instructs the disciples in what he has just done. He asked them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." The Lord Jesus has become the servant, not only to show the love of the servant, but also to show the servants, the Lord's servants, how to love. To love as Jesus does means we are to lay aside our sinful pride, our ego, our self-centered and selfish desires, and motivated by our Savior's great love for us and his washing away our sins, we will reach out to forgive one another and serve one another. That's the response to Jesus' washing. We're overwhelmed with his love for us. We wonder, how in the world could I respond so selfishly? How can I react to my Savior's great love in such a sinful way? In such a foolish way? How can I react so thanklessly by living a life of sinful thoughts and actions and words? And with that love of Christ in our hearts, we'll be moved to also love one another and to forgive each other. Jesus had many serious and important things to do that night and the next day, and yet he took the time to wash his disciples' feet and to teach them this example of his great love for them. Can we ever say that we're too busy? We got more important things to do than to serve others for Jesus' sake? Jesus gave his all for us. Can we ever say that, well, we'll be happy serving him with the bare minimum, with the least amount of what we do for him, when he gave everything for us? Jesus' new commandment to us is love one another as I have loved you. And it can only be fulfilled by us if we're filled with our Savior's great love for us. So that we won't have to say then, do I have to? Well, we move to say, but I want to. That's why the Apostle Paul said, serve one another in love and bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, he died for all that those who live should live not no longer for themselves, but for him who died and then rose again. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. True greatness in Christ's kingdom is gauged by self-denying desires and service. Priority in his kingdom is serve first and serve always. Jesus' entire life was a life of selfless serving for all of us as our Savior and as our example. So, tonight, before we come to the Lord's Supper, Jesus asks every single one of us, do you know what I have done to you? Do you know how I have served you? Do you know how I gave my life for you? Do you know how I sacrificed myself and washed you clean of all of your sins? Do you know how that very body and blood which I shed on the cross is there with the bread and wine this evening for you to partake of, for the blessed assurance of the forgiveness of all your sins? I have served as your Savior. I also serve as your example for you to love one another and forgive one another. It all begins with Christ. The key is, love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. What a blessed life we all would have if, filled with Christ's love, we forgive each other of all the little petty faults as well as the big differences. If we would not look upon any task as being too beneath us to do for one another. What a blessed congregational life we'd all have if we wash each other's feet. What a blessed family life and marriage we'd have if we willingly wash each other's feet. What a wonderful world we'd live in if everyone would just wash each other's feet. What a blessed eternal life we will have because Jesus washed us in every way from every sin. His selfless love for us is seen all around us this evening. It's seen in gathering all of us together around his word. It's seen in his loving sacrament. It's seen in his cross. It's seen in his message of peace. Jesus said to his disciples that evening, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Take his word for it. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.